UCARTEINT.org or 202-450-8541.
Hi, I'm Danny Glover, and you are tuned into WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice.
Good evening. It's just about 6 p.m. in the nation's capital. The name of the show is News of Use. My name is Garland Nixon. I'm on every Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. hanging out with my main man, Kalia. There's plenty of big things going on, plenty of things going on for us to talk about. And we're going to do that. We're going to talk about Alaska. And I don't mean baked Alaska. I mean the big meeting going on in Alaska. We're going to talk about a National Guard troops running around D.C. and everywhere else. We're going to talk. There's plenty to talk about. And I know that our callers, we are in Fund Drive and are going to call in and donate and help keep the station going. And so we might even take one or two phone calls today. With so much going on, somebody might want to say something. At any rate, so let's get going. For starters, I'd like to just remind you all, we're going to start off with, the National Guard stuff. But before we go there, before we get there, and I'm going to have an interesting take. I think you're going to find my take is interesting. I think you're going to find my take is unique and different, right? Definitely on this, because I'm going to touch on that, but I'm going to relate it immediately to something else. Okay, but before we do that, let's start here. As you know, WPFW does not get all that money from the Koch brothers and ExxonMobil and AIPAC and every place else. In fact, they're probably donating money to stop us from being on the air. But we're here, and we say things that are in dissident things. We say things that are not aligned oftentimes with mainstream powers. They allow, the show before us, Jackie, and she's a dissident person, and she's pushing back against the system. And you know me, I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I don't know if I'm an independent. I don't know if I'm anything. I don't need a name. I'm just a person who tries to figure out what the heck is going on and talk about it. And some people love it, some people hate it, but WPFW allows it. WPFW allows people like me. There ain't a lot of places left for people like me. And if you talk about WPFW, say people like us, because we're a lot of this people who dissent. There's still some mainstream kind of people, some not. You got all some awesome music, you know, all kinds of great music that you can't get anywhere else. For goodness sake, Robin is after this show. And Robin Holden, as great as her music is. So WPFW is a great station. It is just an absolute treasure for the community. And so since we don't get money from big anything, agri, pharma, war, none of that. We need our people who are our listeners to help us stay on the air. So let me give you the number. The phone number is 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739 is the number. And this is the last day of Fund Drive. You know, we don't do it forever. We do it for a few weeks here and there, enough to keep us on the air, enough to keep things going. And, you know, things are very expensive, as you know, for yourself right now. And needless to say, it's very expensive for WPFW. This is a great resource for the community. And we need WPFW to continue so you can listen to the great music. You can listen to alternative and dissident views and listen to views that you don't hear on the mainstream. There's only one way to do that. And that's to call 202-588-9739. That's the number. And there's the people standing by. And as always, I always say the same thing. You know, there's a lot of people who call who have a little bit. I got $20, I got $30, I got $50, I got $100. But there's a lot of people out there who are in pretty good financial position. They could give $100, they could give $500, they could give $1,000 or more and wouldn't even miss it. And I definitely ask those who have a little, give a little. Those who have a lot make up for those who don't have any. So if you can afford $200, $500, $1,000, $100, there's a lot of people, no way they can afford that. They're just trying to make it right now. And they deserve the programming that they get. They deserve the opportunity to hear alternative programming, alternative music. Man, we got blues. We got you name it. It's awesome. So please call now, 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739 is the number. And I'm sure that the listeners of this show are going to call in. So let's start off with National Guard traipsing around D.C. A couple of things. Let me start with this. Just all my thoughts on this. I'll throw them random thoughts on that and we'll move forward. Number one, let's be honest. And as people know, you know, law enforcement background, I was a police officer. A bit of a dissident there everywhere I've been. I never really fit in, you know. I remember when I was in law enforcement, people used to say, "You don't seem like a cop." I'd be like, "Well, I guess because you got a pretty, you know, a standard idea of what a cop is, and I'm very, very different, right?" But let's start here. So this fraud that, oh, we're going to put a bunch of National Guardsmen running around in fatigues and they're somehow going to affect the crime rate. Let's start here. How long are they going to be there? If we just start for this, let's just say, just as an intellectual argument, not that it's true, because I don't think it is, but let's just say it was true. Let's just say they stuck a bunch of guardsmen in and the crime rate went down by 20%. Are they going to leave them there for the final full 4 years now? Are they going to leave them there until Trump is out? And then after that, is that the future of Washington, D.C.? Oh, well, we got the crime rate down, so let's leave them in forever. And let me say something. You know, I remember this was way back when, and I was at a meeting. And that's when I worked in Maryland. I was in Maryland, so I was working with the governor's office and going to a lot of these meetings on crime rates and all this kinds of stuff, right? Administrative meetings on crime. And I'll never forget, I was at this meeting and they were talking about crime going down and crime going up and more cops and all of this stuff. And I said, and I brought this up. I said, wait a minute. At the time, this was during the 1990s. And I said, if you look at that chart right now, crime is on the way down. They're right. I'm like, but look at the economic chart. If you look at the economic charts, if you look at the economic graphs, when the economic, opportunities go up, when people are living better, crime goes down. When people are living worse, crime goes up. Clearly, there is a relationship between the economics and the crime. Clearly, to me, and I used to teach criminal justice, and I used to, you know, talk about why do people commit crimes. And one of the things I'd say is there's as many reasons as there are crimes. There are people that commit crimes because they're sociopaths. There's people that commit crimes out of desperation. There's people that commit crimes because, you know, they grew up and their parents were both, you know, addicts and they never had an opportunity and they just tried to survive on the streets and they never had anybody to teach them better or anything, right? One of the things that I bring up that I learned in law enforcement, and that was, you know, you see a lot of these prostitutes and strippers. And I found this out that a lot of them are people who are in the foster care program. And you have some girl who is 18 years old, and she's been, her parents were maybe addicts, whatever. She was abused. She was taken from the parents' house sometimes, sexually abused. You have some who have learning disabilities, all kinds of things going on. So you got some 18-year-old girl who, poverty, whatever, who was put in the foster care program, and she turns 18, and they kick her out of foster program and put her on the street. Okay, well, you're on your own. Go make your way in the world. She doesn't have the capacity to do that. She doesn't have the ability to do that. She doesn't really, nobody ever taught her anything. She does not have an education. She's got nothing. She's a young 18-year-old girl who's pretty and attractive and who has the mind of a 7-year-old. Doesn't have the ability to take care of herself. Nobody ever taught her anything. And this country just throws her out on the street. Okay, you're on your own now. You're no longer in the foster care program. What the heck kind of country do we have, by the way, to do that kind of stuff to these young women? But she ends up in prostitution. She ends up in drugs. She ends up abused. She ends up in crime. Let me ask you this, is putting National Guardsmen on the street going to help that? Going to change that? And how many people we've all known that. And again, I was in law enforcement. I saw, I don't know how many, if you go and you talk to people in, we used to have these people that would come to our facilities, right? I had a bunch of facilities under me at one time. And the programs that I ran, we had work release, and they would bring the buses and vans would come out each day. And we'd have, let's say I had 5 or 6 facilities under me at the time. They would drop off 1 or 2 prisoners at each facility, and they'd cut the grass and they'd watch the cars or do whatever until the day was over. And then a van or whatever would come pick them up and take them back, right? And they would leave them with lunch and it'd be a couple sandwiches or something. And a lot of time the officers there would, they'd wash the cars. The officers there say, when we go out lunch, we'll get you something. They'd bring them back a nice lunch. It was good. So I used to sit, believe it or not, and I'd sit in my office and I would talk to them. I'd say, hey, come in here. And they'd come in and sit down. And I'd keep them there for a couple hours and talk and say, hey, I wanted to learn. I've always been intellectually curious. And the stories I heard were repeatedly the same. Yeah, when I grew up, I was on the street. My mom was this, a drug addict or heroin or prostitute. My dad was this. Oh, I was beaten. I was abused. Oh, my grandmother raised me because my parents were on drugs, this and that. When you hear the stories over and over and over from these people who are in work release, you realize, are there some people in work release because they're just kind of sociopaths and they commit crime over it? Sure. I'm not saying there's not people like that, but I'm saying when you hear the stories over and over of the background, the crimes of desperation, the crimes of ignorance, the crimes of poverty, right? You realize that, look, these people didn't just wake up today and say, I want to be a criminal. They've lived a life of hell. And you look at it and say, there, but to go to, I'm not a religious man, but the feeling there, but by the grace of God, go I. So these people who want to say, oh, we've got bad people in the streets and they're committing crimes and they have to be dealt with. Well, I hate to always go back to this, but let me just say this to the government. Y'all committing a genocide. Who's worse? Who's worse? The people who's out stealing or robbing or doing something on the street, or the person who's doing it on a mass level, committing a genocide, killing Palestinians by the hundreds of thousands. And wars all over the place. Yet they're the bad guys for stealing a little bit this and that. They're wrong. I don't agree with it. I'm not making excuse for crime. I'm just saying, if you're going to address crime, you have to address poverty. You have to address desperation. See, but our government is never going to want to do that. The crime bill, the Democrats were in for the crime bill, right? What is it? We got to crack down. We got to be harder on crime. We got to say, if you got a rock of cocaine, you get 5 years. If you got powder cocaine the same amount, you probably won't even get no years. But why? Because the poor black man is the one selling a rock of cocaine. So he's the one going to jail. The poor Puerto Rican guy, he's the guy selling a rock of cocaine. The rich white guy has a gram of coke that he got from his boy at college. He gets caught with it, he's walking. His father can get him a lawyer. So we have a system that demonizes the person with that does petty crimes and drug crimes of addiction and struggle and things like that. It doesn't say, let's nuance this. Let's take an intellectual perspective of why crime is committed. Before we come up with a plan to fix crime, let's start by figuring out what causes crime and try to, yes, okay, is there some people that just commit crime and need to be locked up? Fair enough. And lock those up. But by the same token, those who can be, those systems that turn an 18-year-old girl out on the street because she's 18 and she's no longer in a foster care program and there's no government program for her, what, you're going to lock her up for being a prostitute, for being a drug addict, or whatever petty crime she's doing? She's a victim of this system. She's not a victimizer. She's a victim of this system. But yet we got $100 billion to go to Ukraine for the next war every time you turn around and a bunch of people, idiots in Congress, waving a blue and yellow flag, ready to send $100 billion to Ukraine. $50 billion for Israel, X amount of billion dollars for that, another $100 billion. Do you know, like 1% of that would address these poor young girls getting thrown out on the street? But they can, but nobody, not Democrat or Republican, is in that room sticking their hand up when the government says we're sending another $150 billion to Ukraine for a war. None of them saying, can we get some of that for my people back home in my district? That's not happening. Well, what about these poor young girls? We got to do something about this doggone programs that don't exist for these young boys and girls, 18 years old, who age out of the foster care program. What about something for them? I'm sorry, we can't afford it. Who's going to pay for that? Healthcare, no money for it, not a dime. Sorry, we can't. But don't let them say they need another $50 billion for a war. Always got it. They can't even fix a pothole in our street. And they wonder why people are enraged. Now, let me go to this. So, I don't know if you figured out what politics are now. They're going to stick these guys, some National Guardsmen, on the street for 30 days or 40 days or a couple months, whatever. They're going to rustle up and harass some homeless people. I like this. They says, we're going to evict your homeless people. Evict? How are you going to evict homeless people? They've already been evicted. That's why they're homeless. Right? We're going to run about. Where are they going to go? Hyattsville? One thing for sure, they ain't going to Northern Virginia. There's wealthy people there. So they're going to send them out to maybe the black community in PG County for a while until this psychological TV option blows over and then they wander right back into D.C. This is nothing but another operation to bring the press out, to bring the cameras out, to bring some activists out so some white guy can get mad on the street and hit a cop with a sub and then we all watch that. Hey, look at this. That guy stood up to the system. What'd he do? He took a vegan sub and hit a police officer. Oh boy, I'm thoroughly impressed by that. I mean, let me just say this. And, you know, I don't often get in a race because I'm a black guy that grew up in a mostly white area, right? But white people are a trip. There's a guy standing on a corner. I mean, I'm like, there's some cultural difference. But I'm like, there's a white guy on a corner yelling in the cop's face. And there was a brother there going, hey, it ain't worth it. Did you see the video? There's a brother. Hey, man, it ain't worth it. The brother was like, dude, if I just yelled, I'd probably got shot. You know, a brother knew you pull out a sub on a cop. They're going to look at it. Hey, he's got a dangerous weapon. And the brother be like, no, it's a tuna fish sub. Close enough. Bam. That brother's getting shot. So the brother knew what time it was. He's trying to tell this white guy, hey, dude, man, it ain't worth it. Come on, back off. So he's in the cop's face. Oh, you're fascist or whatever. Oh, you're going to get us, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking to myself, well, I don't know how much you know about real fascism, but in actual fascism, you can't go up to their faces like that. They shoot you on the spot. But I guess, whatever, that's fascism if you're a middle-class white guy in D.C. An inconvenience is fascism. Good enough. So he's yelling in the guy's face. Hey, you're a fascist, blah, blah, blah. And the brother's like, dude, man, come on, bro. It ain't worth it. It ain't worth it. He didn't listen. So finally, he takes a sub. And boy, he showed the system, didn't he? He stood up to the man. Whack. He hits a cop in the chest with a sub. And I just put my head down when I watch it. I'm like, I'm watching political theater here. I'm watching a person who thinks they're standing up to the system by hitting a cop with a sub. Guarantee it was a vegan sub. Guarantee it was a vegan. He looked like the type of dude. He had on like a pink golf shirt. I'm guarantee you this. It was a vegan sub. And he showed that cop and he hit him with a sub. And I'm like, now you're going to get hit with a felony. Then he took off running. That was pathetic. I'm like, when I saw the dude run, I'm like, that dude is certainly does not have a background in athletics whatsoever. Those cops were out of shape. They couldn't run. If that's a brother, that brother's getting away. I've seen brothers get away now. I have seen brothers get away. I've seen the brothers do something, and the cop, I've seen one time, a cop grabbed the brother's bicycle. He thought he had the brother. The brother wiggled away from him, lost one of his shoes, but when his feet hit the ground, that cop wasn't catching him. Was not going to happen. That brother hit about a 4.340 before he turned around the corner and went up Fayette Street and Baltimore Street. And I'm like, and the cop took about two steps and just stopped because he had been in Baltimore City for a while. And he knew, that brother get about 10 feet on you, ain't no point chasing him because you're not catching him, right? But I'm looking and I'm like, okay, so, you know, hit a cop with a sub. You're running, look like you're in slow motion, look like you're running in mud, and the cop caught you. Look. Let me just say this, just as a matter of culture. If you run from the police, they ain't supposed to catch you. They got on heavy stuff. They eat donuts. They ain't in, for the most part, some of the, now I knew some brothers like me. I worked out. It was brothers that worked out right. I knew brothers that worked out right. So it was some brothers that could catch you, but not a lot of them. A lot of cops, it was in the back. I put it like this, and a lot of brothers that I knew that was cops, brothers and white guys, black guys, I say brothers, people that worked out, they were in the power. So they're lifting heavy weights. They wasn't trying to, you know, they didn't have the speed. They wanted to grab you and wrestle you down or something like that and put the cuffs on you. But if you, you know, if you got the running, you probably should get away. And I'm like, you ran from the cops. And I'm an older dude. I could get away from a lot of cops right now. I still can move pretty good, but I'm not, you know, if you're a brother, I'll put it like this. In a black community, it's almost like a disgrace if you run from the cops that they literally catch you. That's not supposed to happen. I mean, that would be pretty humiliating if the cops, if some fat, out of shape, donut eating cop comes out of Dunkin' Donuts with an extra large latte and you take off running and he catches you. You really, you need to go to jail just for that. Right. But at any rate, so I watched this absolute humiliation of our society as some dude assaults a cop with a stinking sub and then gets caught in like 10 steps. I'm like, everything is wrong with this picture. Everything's wrong with this picture. But all that and all the cops are going to do is wander around on the streets for 30 days for a big photo op. Ain't going to have no effect. Then Trump and his people are going to go, look what we've done. We've stood up to crime and it's dropped by, we've got a graph here. They're going to have a graph that shows how much it dropped when it didn't really drop. Then, of course, the Democrats are going to scream, oh my God, we got to stand up against them. This is fascism. Now, they ain't going to do nothing to stop a genocide. If you go to the Democrats and say, hey, there's a genocide going on. Well, we don't have time for that. We've got a guy throwing a sub at a cop, for God's sake. We got to stand up and stop this kind of crime. Genocide? Nah, we are that. Israel's got to protect herself. They're going to say something like absolutely ridiculous like that, which is why I'm no longer a Democrat, I might add. But at any rate, but meanwhile, let me throw something at you before I go. We'll talk about WPFW again in a minute, but let me throw something at you. At the time that they're doing this sorry, ridiculous, absurd photo op of having a bunch of guys in fatigues wander around the street for 30 or 40 days and they'll do absolutely nothing. While they're doing that, let me read this other article to you. This is something you might want to be concerned about. Very similar. That's why I say it's a distraction. You look over here at this shiny object while I do my real dirt. Let me read this to you. So, they're going to send National Guard troops to D.C. to stop brothers from, I don't know, selling weed on the corner or something. Man, weed's legal, whatever. Listen to this article. Pentagon drawing up quick reaction force of National Guard ready to quell civil unrest at any moment. Listen to this. Pentagon, that's the military, drawing up a quick reaction force of National Guard ready to quell civil unrest at any moment. Troops would be stationed at military bases in Alabama and Arizona under the new reaction force plan. The plan for a domestic civil disturbance quick reaction force calls for 600 troops on standby at all times, ready to deploy in as little as 1 hour. The troops would be split into two groups stationed at military bases in Alabama and Arizona. What do we got here? The administration would rely on Title 32, a status in which the National Guard operates under the command of a state governor, but is funded by the federal government. So here's the deal. Think about this. Here's what they're saying. The government is going to put together a military force. What for? To quell civil unrest. You should read the Washington Post article, because in the Washington Post article, they specifically say, yes, we're going to put quick reaction force, the National Guard, while you're looking over here at this shiny object in D.C., you're looking at that. Oh, my God, look what they're doing. They're putting together one in the West and one in the East. Of this military group, if you read the Washington Post article, it says, to address protests and riots. Let me start here. Aren't protests legal? Number one. Number two, don't you already have cops? Haven't they been militarizing the cops since, I don't know when, since 2003 or something? So they militarize the cops and they tell us the cops are militarized. Why? To handle protests and riots. Okay, well, I don't like that, but it is what it is. And now what do they say? We're going to put together military people. What for? As a quick reaction to quell civil unrest. Almost sounds like they're expecting civil unrest, doesn't it? Almost sounds like maybe they're expecting this fall, when students come back and people are sick and tired of the genocide, that maybe people will go in the streets and say, we're sick and tired of this genocide, and there could be civil unrest. Or perhaps, since, as we know, our economy has been on the cliff for a while, they could be looking at it and saying, you know, might have another 2008 style crash and the people might come to the streets and there could be civil unrest. And if there is, the government will be ready to crack down on them. Now, let me ask you this. Heard anything about that in Congress? Do you think the Republicans are going to say that ain't a good idea? Do you think the Democrats are going to go, we're standing to fight against that? No, they won't, because they all work for the ruling elite. And what is that really about? As we're looking over at this shiny object in D.C., they're putting together a military force to say, if people come to the street to oppose what we're doing, we're going to put them down using the military. They must be expecting some big civil unrest because they already got cops that they've been given tanks and everything. Look at the cops. Half the time, the cops look, you don't know the difference between the cops and the Delta Force, right? But apparently, that's not enough. They're drawing up a quick reaction force. Look it up. Search it yourself. If you don't believe me, search Pentagon quick reaction force. There's a big Washington Post article about it, and you'll see they're putting together military forces to stop civil unrest. I suspect that they expect civil unrest. If you look at our economy, the way things are going crappy, if you look at the way things, they might start another war and our economy crashes. If they start a war with Iran, the price of oil goes through the roof, the economy crashes, people take to the street. They want to have the military ready to put them down, ready to stop it. So while they do this, while they put, they got us, attacking the police with vegan subs from Subway. Boy, we're busy fighting the system, putting down the man. And while we are looking at that, they're literally putting together groups of military people for the real civil unrest that they know is coming when things start to fall apart due to their evil, devious, and diabolical policies. When people start waking up and saying, you know, I thought Garland was a crazy person, but well, okay, maybe he is a crazy person, but they're still evil and diabolical. All right? So that's where I'm coming from on that. So let's go now to something critical and important. And I think this is important. You know, I get to say that. And, you know, that's a different spin on things. I'm not saying I'm all for National Guardsmen in the street. I'm saying I oppose that. But I'm saying don't get hung up in that. It ain't going to do a thing. They're going to wander around the street for 30, 40, 50 days. Then they're going to go back. But it is a psyop. While that's happening, you'll focus on that. You'll look at that and you won't see the other stuff. And it ain't going to really do nothing. And we get to fight about it. We get to fight about that. Then we get to fight about some blonde haired girl with a jeans advertisement. Oh, we can all fight about that. I think the Minnesota Vikings, they got a couple male cheerleaders. Those guys look gay. I guess we got to fight about that. Oh, no, there's male cheerleaders. We can fight about male cheerleaders. We can fight about a blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl in a jeans who's good-looking, I might add. I'm a guy. I looked at her. I'm like, yeah, she's pretty good-looking. Whatever. It's a jeans advertisement. And we can fight about that. We can fight about all these things while they continue a genocide and doing these diabolical things and prepping their military assault for the coming civil unrest. How great is that? But I can talk about that. Couldn't talk about it on the mainstream media. But I can talk about it on WPFW. And I am asking you as a listener, as a person who listens to these programs, as a thinking person, as a skeptical and suspicious person who looks at this stuff and says something's up, I don't trust it. I'm asking you to call now. The number is 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. We need people to call in. To give us the opportunity to continue to have these kinds of discussions. And you know what? If somebody comes on the air right after me and says, everything Garland says is a lie, don't believe him. It's a bunch of crap. He's a crazy man. You know what I would say? Good. I support that. You should listen to my show and then you should listen to another show that says, don't listen to anything Garland says. He's a crazy man. That's what you deserve. You deserve the opportunity to listen to all sides. I've heard people calling Garland. I don't like what you're saying. I don't think you should be on the air. And I say, that's the difference between me and you. I don't like what you're saying. That's why I think you should be on the air. That's why. By listening to my show, I say, I love for people to call me and say, Garland, you're wrong. Excellent. That's what we need, and that's what WPFW allows. The number is 202-588-9739. Let me just remind everybody, you know, as we know, there's a lot of people struggling. A lot of people on hard times. A lot of people ain't never known nothing but hard times. I know some of them. And but they listen to WPFW. It's a community radio station. And as a community, we all have to come together. And those who have a bit more, have to come together for those who are going through hard times. And if you're one of those people who financially you're well off and you can afford to give $100, $200, $500, or maybe $1,000, right? If you can afford to do that and it won't bother you, tax deductible, I might add, make that move and help out those who would like to give but just don't have it. those. I know people. I have people who call me, friends who have contacted me, and I've gotten in touch with them. I call them, and they're, you know, have been homeless. They're barely living in a place, barely keeping a roof over their head, and they listen to the show every week. And I have friends like that who I've met through, you know, various events at the show. And I know they don't have nothing to give. They barely making it. So for those who are struggling, I'm asking those who are doing okay to stand up for them. 202-588-9739. That's the number. 202-588-9739 is the phone number. Please call in now. Help keep WPFW on the air. Contribute to a community of listeners, a community of programmers, a community of music aficionados. 202-588-9739. You know, and in fact, if we've got some phone calls, if somebody wants to call, we'll take a couple callers. 202-588-0893. That's the number. 202-588-0893. If somebody wants to call, we'll take a couple callers. Now let's go to Alaska. What's going on there? Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin are meeting in Alaska. Apparently, I don't know what they're talking about. We'll find out. I'm very interested. And let me just say this. You know, the history of nuclear powers are that they have a lot of missiles pointed at each other and everybody could die. I don't want that to happen. And the history of nuclear powers has been traditionally leaders of these countries would meet and talk about things, whether they accomplished things or not. We had various treaties, nuclear missile treaties, and, you know, intermediate nuclear missile treaty and START treaties and all kinds of treaties, right? And the last nuclear treaty is scheduled to expire in 2026. I'm a person who believes that it is critical that the leaders of the nuclear powers, there's three powers. There's the U.S., there's Russia, and there's China. Those are three powers, and they could wipe out everything. I believe that superpowers operate in a different dimension. World powers, U.S., Russia, and China operate in a different dimension from the rest of the countries, economically, militarily, etc., diplomatically. And I am in favor of the leaders of these countries meeting, and anything that can be done to resolve military animus between the two countries, I am for it. Donald Trump don't mean no more to me than Joe Biden or Obama or Bush or Clinton or any of them other clowns. They're all a bunch of warmongers. They're all war criminals. They're all leading a brutal, vicious, genocidal empire. So I ain't saying, you know, people like there's certain people got to call in every week and tell me that the Democrats are better than Republicans. And I know people who are Republicans who got to always tell me the Republicans are better than Democrats. That's y'all's show. That's y'all's game. I'm not in that one. I'm not in that discussion. Okay, I'm opposed to empire. I'm opposed to the U.S. going around the world, any country going around the world, we the ones with 900 bases doing terrible and diabolical things, overthrowing countries and starting wars. And I want wars to end. Now, do I believe that Trump and Putin will be able to end this war, you know, on a given Friday evening in Alaska? No. But I'm glad that this conversation has begun, and my fingers are crossed, and I am hoping that there could be some hope for peace. At this point, there's only one or two things that are going to happen. The wars continue, and the Russians are going to smash Ukraine to pieces, which is in the process of what's happening. They're going to smash the Ukrainian army. A lot of people are going to die, and that I don't want that to happen. I think the United States can possibly do some things to end that conflict, to get the heck off of Russia's border. Look, let me say this about the conversation. It's quite simple. The U.S. and Europe have a narrative, and Russia says that ain't the narrative. The U.S. and Russia says it's about taking land, and Russia wants to take land, and Russia wants to take Ukraine. But if you ask the Russians, they say, no, that's not it. It's about NATO expanding to our border, right into Ukraine, and we're not going to allow NATO to expand into Ukraine. The United States and NATO are expanding up on our border. That's what the Russians said. And the Russians say, look, NATO, you can expand on our border. You can expand up to the Russian border, but you're going to have to fight to stay there. That's Russia. They're saying if the U.S. and NATO want to expand into Ukraine, which the U.S. and NATO was doing, they're going to have to fight to stay there. My position is not one of Russia, the United States, China, or anywhere. It's a great power competition. Listen to John Mearsheimer. He talks about it. If Russia or China try to expand into NATO, the United States will go to war. The United States is trying to expand into Taiwan. Eventually, China's going to go to war and kick us out. It's just that this is reality, like it or not. They can brainwash Americans and lie to them and say, oh, the Russians want to start the Soviet Union again. Well, that's just not true. The Russians, before this war started, the Russians presented a document, a written document, I got it right on my email. And they said, we need to talk about NATO expansion, or we're going to war in Ukraine. And the United States said, no, we won't do it. And Russia said, okay, well, then we're going to war in Ukraine. All along, what has Russia said? The United States says, you need to stop. And Russia says, yes, but we must talk about the root causes. And the root cause is NATO expanding up to the border of Ukraine, up to the border of Russia. I'm hoping they will now have a discussion about NATO expanding to the border of Russia, because that's the only thing that's going to stop it. Russia is, let me say this, there's a person who is a, this is what I do for a living, geopolitics. A country, all countries have a border. They have a physical border. This is the border of our country. Great powers, Russia, China, and the United States, have a strategic border. In other words, the United States has a border. Cuba is at our strategic border. When the Soviet Union put missiles in Cuba, the United States says, that's not inside of our border, but that's in our strategic border, and we'll go to war, because we're not going to allow you to get inside of our strategic border. If Russia or China started putting missiles in Mexico, the United States would say, that's inside of our strategic border. We're not going to allow you to come up to our strategic border where you could hit us with missiles that quick. Russia's not going to allow the United States to get in Ukraine and put missiles 400 miles from Moscow. Not going to happen. Now, they can give all the propaganda they want to Americans and say it's about whatever that, it's about taking land or this or that. It don't matter. Russia will fight. They will not allow NATO to expand into Ukraine. And personally, I'm just going to say this. I don't blame them. That's reality. That's the way it goes. That's what it is. You can say whoever you want. Oh, Putin could drop dead tomorrow. The next Russian leader is not going to allow, and they still going to go to war. Trump could drop dead tomorrow. I don't care who you put in power in the United States. If the Russians and the Chinese start putting missiles in Mexico, the president of the United States is going to attack them and go to war in Mexico. This is the way it is. Like it or not. So now that the leaders of these two countries are meeting, I got my fingers crossed. I think it's a good thing. I hope they start talking about some of these treaties about that are expiring in 26, these nuclear treaties. And I hope maybe we can get some of those started going, because I don't want to get fried in a nuclear blast. I hope we can have discussions that'll ramp down the Ukraine conflict and maybe other wars. I'm not confident that'll happen, but I hope it'll happen. But it won't happen if they don't talk, and I'm all for them talking. So that's my position. I'm an anti-war person. I'm an anti-imperialist person. And anytime I hear the leaders of two countries who have a ongoing conflict are going to have a talk about the conflict, I don't care the names of these people. I am all for it. I hope they have a good talk. I hope they come to some kind of a begin to, you know, almost like when Nixon went to China. Oh, Nixon better not go talk to Red China. They're evil. Well, it turned out well, because Red China wasn't evil. The propaganda was evil, but they weren't evil. So now, oh, we're going to talk to the Russians. The Russians ain't evil. Propaganda's evil. The Russians are just another country, as Paul Robeson said, a wonderful culture with wonderful people. And then the United States could propagandize you into hating the Russians. The Russians are a wonderful country, a culture and wonderful people. Most cultures are wonderful with wonderful people. Sadly, the United States can demonize you. Oh, the Muslims are a bunch of terrorists. Well, the Muslims ain't committing a genocide. We're committing a genocide against Muslims. And Christians too, I might add. But we can always convince the American people that somebody else is the bad guy. Bottom line is this. I don't want to hear about who's the bad guy. I ain't no fan of Trump. I'm just saying, whoever the leader of the United States is, I am in favor of them talking to the Russians and the Chinese and everybody, and trying to turn down the volume of intensity between these two countries before we all get nuked. And hopefully we can get something that. But, you know, right now, I have to say, as that goes on, my heart goes out to the Palestinians, and my fury and rage still continues to grow daily at the United States government, at both of these parties, and at the people who just simply are willing to sit around and allow a genocide to happen. One of the most inexcusable things that I have ever seen. And it just says to me, you know what? That's what this country was born on. And that's what this country will die on. That's what started us. That's what's tearing this country apart today, committing a brutal and evil genocide. Let me see. We ain't got no callers yet, do we? 202-588. Do we got any callers? No callers? None? Nope. Okay, 202-588-0893 if somebody wishes to call and comment. That's wonderful, especially somebody disagrees with me. That's beautiful. 202-588-0893. And let me once again remind everyone that you listen to WPFW 89.3 FM in Washington, D.C. WPFW is a 50,000-watt FM station. You can go to WPFWFM.org. On WPFWFM.org, you can listen live to the show. There you can see all the things that we're doing. Also there, you have the archive. So you can go there, and like if you missed my show or somebody's show yesterday, you can click on it, and you can look up the show, and you can listen to yesterday's show, last week's show, the week before. It's awesome. So there's a lot of resources at WPFWFM.org. And of course, one of the great resources is we got a donate button, and we are in fund drive. And just because we're not in fund drive, next week or the week after, if you choose to go to WPFWFM.org and click on the donate button, you can do that at any time. That's always available. We have projects we're working on, such as, you know, trying to get a new place to stay, a new home. And so certainly that you can, you know, see the progress of, you know, the drive that we're doing there to get the finances to get a new home for WPFW. So go to, you know, if you haven't been on WPFWFM.org and you listen to the show, you're missing out. You're missing out. You can learn more about the show by going to WPFWFM.org. You can donate. And of course, don't forget, 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739 is the phone number for donations. Please, this is the last day of fun drive. Make it happen. All right, next caller, first caller. How about we go with the first caller? You're on the air. What's your name? Where you're calling from? First caller, Hello. You're on the air. What's your name? Where you're calling from?
Hi, this Uh-oh. Is Pam calling from DC.
Yes, what's happening, Hello. Pam? Great to hear from you again.
Oh, good. I'm on this car phone, and I might get it all mixed up. But I'm not the most techie person. But I wanted to ask a question. Do you think that all of this attempts at provocation are so that he can declare martial law and suspend the Constitution? And I'll listen to your reply off air.
Well, I'll say this, Pam. I think here's my thing about Trump and watching Trump. Trump is nothing more than an entertainer, and Trump does things to get grab the headlines. More than, and my view of Trump is he's, you know, there's a reason he's in the Hall of Fame for WWF. He knows how to grab the headlines. And Trump is kind of a big ego guy. He wants to be at the front of the headlines. And Trump knows how, and he's very good at this, doing things that ain't going to change nothing and ain't going to make a difference, but they're going to rile people up and they're going to get the headlines. This is not going to do anything. It's going to grab the headlines. And you know what Trump's going to do 30 or 40 days from now when this is over? Something else to grab the headlines. It isn't going to make a difference, in my opinion. Now, I think people should look into that Pentagon quick reaction force. That is something, number one, it grabs the headlines, but additionally, it distracts us from the reality. Look up, everybody search, quick reaction force, Pentagon. And you'll see that they're putting together a quick reaction force to, quote, quell unrest. They're suspecting that there's going to be unrest, and I suspect they may be right, and they're putting together something to stop it. So this is a distraction, and it's something. Trump loves to grab the headlines, and he's good at it, and he does things so that his supporters will go, yes, look at what Trump is doing. And the people who hate him go, doggone that Trump. He burns me up, and they'll get mad, and everybody, but everybody's talking about Trump. And I think that's more than anything else, that's what this is going to do. You still there, Pam? Okay.
Yeah, I'm still here, yes.
Okay, go ahead. What do you think about that? Because it ain't going to do nothing, Pam. It ain't going to change nothing. And how long are they going to do it? 30 days, 60 days, whatever, and then it'll be gone.
Right. But again, I wonder if the end game is to, you know, create anarchy, and that way, you know, he can justify declaring martial law and then suspend the Constitution. He's always talking about the heck with the Constitution. I don't care about the Constitution. So, you know, I'm just wondering if this is very strategic, and the end game would be to declare martial law.
Well, here's my opinion. I don't think we got much of a Constitution in the first place. Number one, they have arrested people for protected speech, for criticizing Israel. That's protected speech.
Yep.
That the Constitution, the ruling elite, the people in power see the Constitution as a privilege. They don't see that as real. They don't go by. Look at the government violates the Constitution all the time. The president constitutionally cannot declare war, cannot attack another country. Only Congress can do that. Only Congress can do that. George W. Bush, Obama, Trump, Biden, all of them violated that. They don't care about the Constitution. The idea that there's a Constitution is there for us. They violate it at will. I love the Constitution. I love the ideal and the principle. I don't think the people in power, Congress, the president, none of them give a hoot about the Constitution. So they don't really have to apply martial law and suspend the Constitution because they don't pay no attention to it in the first place, Pam. That's my thoughts.
Got you.
They ain't paying too much attention to it now.
Yep. Thanks, Garland.
Can I add one other thing, Pam?
Sure.
I suspect, like me, you might be black, right? The Constitution never applied to us anyway. You know, if you think about this, they literally had to put something in the Constitution to say, okay, the Constitution applies to black folks too in like 65. And in the voting in 65, 64, 66, all of this constitutional changes. Well, yes, you have to serve black folks and they have constitutional rights. You got to serve them a hamburger in a store and all that, right? Which meant the Constitution didn't even apply to us in the first place. If the Constitution applied, white people did not need an extra caveat, an amendment in the Constitution that says, oh, yeah, that applies to white folks, too. No, we're the only ones that got that. So the Constitution never applied to us in the first place. They literally had to write an addendum to the Constitution that said, oh, yeah, it applies to Negroes, too. Which, might I add, they haven't even stuck to that. They could write 10 of them. They ain't going to listen to them anyway. At any rate, so thanks a lot, Pam. All right, I certainly appreciate the call. Next call, you're on the air. What's your name, where are you calling from?
Garland, this is John from Silver Spring.
All right, John, I'm all ears.
Didn't Russia go into Iraq in the 1980s? Could you talk about that?
Russia went into Iraq? No, I don't quite recall that. No.
Well, could it have been Afghanistan?
Yes, they went into Afghanistan. You familiar with that?
Well,
what
some
was that
time
about?
Ago, and
you
I've
know
got,
what that was
you
about?
Know, the details. So could you talk about that some?
Sir, yes. What happened was in Afghanistan, Zbigniew Brzezinski came up with a plan under Jimmy Carter. And the plan was we will draw the Russians into Afghanistan. We will destabilize Afghanistan and that will hurt the Russians. So what did the United States do in Afghanistan? They came up with an idea called the Mujahideen. And there was a guy named Osama bin Laden who the United States chose to lead it. And so they began, look this up, they began supporting him. They gave him money. What turned into eventually was Al-Qaeda. The United States started it along with the Pakistani intelligence, armed them, trained them, started them fighting. And the whole idea was we're going to destabilize Afghanistan so we can draw the Russians in. Because at the time, the government in Afghanistan was a very secular government. Women could wear skirts. There was no hijab, none of that stuff. And the United States supported the Islamists so they could destabilize Afghanistan. Meanwhile, the Afghanistan government asked the Russians to come in to to help them restabilize the country. So that's how that happened.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
All right. All right, you're certainly welcome. That's what happened. You can look that up. That's pretty clear. And then after we, trained and armed Osama bin Laden and the Mujahideen. Look up, there's so many articles about that. They called them spirit warriors. That's what Mujahideen did. There was pictures in the New York Times about this great warrior and leader, this pro-U.S. guy named Osama bin Laden. And we did all of that to destabilize a secure, secular country so that we could hurt Russia because the government was friends with Russia, and we didn't like that. Zbigniew Brzezinski's great plan, and destabilized Afghanistan, and Afghanistan fell apart ever since. So it was a nice secular country, and the United States did. In fact, there was a guy, I can't think of his name, it slips my mind right now, but this guy that the United States supported, let me tell you what he was known for. He would walk into the markets of Afghanistan, and when he saw women who didn't have their face covered, he'd throw acid in their face. That's what he was known for. The United States funded and supported him because they wanted to destabilize Afghanistan. Isn't that just wonderful? That's a good history of Afghanistan. Anyway, we've got such a wonderful history in the United States. and in fact, I would also recommend a book that Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote called The Grand Chessboard. It came out in 1998. If you read the book, The Grand Chessboard, you'll find something interesting in it. In the book, The Grand Chessboard, Zbigniew Brzezinski advocated for something. And basically what he said was, we're going to use Ukraine to take Russia apart. We'll arm Ukraine. We'll use Ukraine to take Russia apart. And then we'll split Russia into three parts. And then we'll use those three parts to go after China. That was in a grand chessboard. Isn't that interesting? Now, what did the U.S. do? Overthrew the government of Ukraine. What did it do? Built military stuff in Ukraine, put missiles and everything in Ukraine, started a war and armed it, and then said, we can't believe the Russians did this. They literally wrote what they were going to do in 1998 in Ukraine in the grand chessboard. It was written in a book. This is what we're going to do in Ukraine. And when I say to people, you know, Zbigniew Brzezinski wrote in a book exactly what they were going to do in Ukraine, and that's what they did. And people are like, no, Garland, that's not what happened. The Russians attacked Ukraine because they would like to reconstitute the Soviet Union, and Putin does not like democracy. I'm like, what part of they wrote what they were going to do in Ukraine and did it is hard. There's another document that was in 2020. You can look this up, and it's called it was written by the RAND Corporation. It's called Unbalancing and Destabilizing Russia. They wrote it in 2019. And you know what they said they were going to do? They said they were going to arm Ukraine and use Ukraine strategically to unbalance and destabilize Russia. So here's what I'm saying. In 1998, Zbigniew Brzezinski writes a book that says, hey, I got an idea. We can arm Ukraine and we can use our Ukraine to destabilize Russia. In 2019, the RAND Corporation, funded by the Pentagon, writes a document, and the document says, hey, we can use Ukraine. We can fund it, we can arm it, and we can use it to destabilize Russia. And now when I say, hey guys, you know Ukraine, you know what they refer to the Ukraine as? They refer to it as the Ukraine Project. Do you ever hear somebody say the Ukraine Project? Because it was a neocon project. They literally wrote that they were going to arm Ukraine and use Ukraine to take Russia apart. And when I say they're doing what they said, no, Garland, you're just a Russian Putin-loving bot or something. Yeah, fair enough. They said they were going to do that. And that's exactly what they did. But that's not really true. I don't even get it. I don't even get it. That's like me saying, hey, I'm going to rob a liquor store. And then I go rob a liquor store and people say, Garland didn't rob that liquor store. No, he said he was going to, and he walked in there with a gun and he took the money, but that he didn't really rob a liquor store. It is absurd. At any rate, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to thank my main man, Kalia. I'm going to say, guess what? We got a great show with music coming on next. And I'm going to remind you, WPFW does not get money from oil and gas and warmongers and AIPAC and all that stuff. The reason we can stay on the air and you can hear what I have to say, and I advocate, listen to people who disagree with me. Listen to me. Listen to people who disagree with me also. Research for yourself. Don't trust me. Trust your own ability to figure things out yourself, right? But the reason that we can do this is because people like you help us out. The number is 202 9739. 202-588-9739. Please call now, donate, and help keep this station on the air. You know I love my house music. And me and my main man, Kalia, curate specially house music just for you. Here's a great house song. We're out.
nothing to say. Is my body calls out for you to stay, for you to stay where.